I started last week fighting the good fight of faith. We're going to be talking about that. It's one of the things that really is dealing with mothers and motherhood. There really has been an attack. There's a real fight in our nation and really worldwide on motherhood. I mean, it has been it has been the thing. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you go back to the Garden of Eden. Who did Satan go after? Who did he go after? That's who he went after. So we need to understand these. One of the things is in 1 Timothy and 6:12, the scripture is the foundation for these teachings that we're going to be doing. These are some things that the Lord had given me for some time ago about teaching. You just have to find them when we're supposed to bring them out. And it's funny because, you know, I've started looking at these things and studying. And it's the scripture says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And we're looking at the fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. There is a faith fight, and it says it's a good fight. I said last week, it's not a fun fight. It says it's a good fight. And what's good about this fight? Because this fight is a winnable fight. It's winnable. God has given us everything in His Word that we could possibly need, desire, or want to make us successful in faith. God has given it to us. It's not something we're going to try to get from Him. It's something that He's given to us. And the faith fight, remember this, because when we're talking about a faith fight, we're talking about something and dealing with things that we're believing and walking toward that are unseen. What we see might be completely contrary to what we're believing, what we're looking at, what we're hearing. See, this has been a great difficulty. See, it's one thing, as I noticed over the last number of years, how far the people of faith generally as a group have gotten, not everybody, but as a group, have gotten away from the faith message because they're mostly moved by what they see. And what they see becomes their prayer life. It becomes the things that they see. They're more governed by what natural things than they are by what's happening in the spirit realm. You know, you can never have a successful prayer life without God. You know, the Holy Spirit's in you for a purpose. It's in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, talks about this, us not knowing to pray for something as we ought. It didn't say we didn't know we're supposed to pray, but we don't know how we're supposed to pray about it. You know, you run in, if you're mostly a mental prayer, there's a lot of things the Spirit you'll never change nor touch. You need the Holy Spirit. There's things that I wouldn't even know about to pray out of my mentality of it, of what I know Scripture says, had not the Holy Spirit sometimes revealed certain things to me. And I saw them, I thought, oh my God, you know, we've been praying this way about that, but that's not really what's happening. The Holy Spirit's showing what needs to be done. And so as being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And we need to know the importance of these things because, you know, today is attack and things that we have our nation. We're fighting a spiritual warfare. And generally the church fights it naturally with psychology and everything else. We're not fighting. We're not realizing we're dealing with spiritual warfare. We're trying to fight people. We're trying to deal all this thing naturally, what's going on, and not what's behind the scenes that's causing the real problems. We need to know something. You can't work with people till you get behind the scenes and deal with the spirits that are motivating things and stopping things. See, we keep trying to change things with people and change things with people when we haven't changed the spiritual atmosphere. We're not changing the spiritual atmosphere, and this is important. You know, as I said, the attack on motherhood, this thing comes along, you know, there's one thing about it. How is all the voting and stuff on this stuff, has it worked to really change the direction the nation's been going? Does it matter what you're for or against? They just go ahead and do whatever. Why? What's going on? See, we have tried to change everything. Boy, we think, boy, this being able to vote, being able to vote. God gave you something bigger than the vote, and the church don't use it. The church is not dealing with spiritual problems and spiritual things. And, you know, we learn. I learned to deal with spiritual things, and this is important because I want to talk about this some. I learned about spiritual things and dealing with family spiritually rather than dealing with everything from the natural. See, everybody deals with everything. We try to fix all the problems. You know, we have, with raising children. You raise children. Most people don't realize that little cute things that we think are so wonderful, they yield to wrong spirits. They yield to demons. We send them off to school with people and stuff, and they get around things, and demons try to attach themselves. And they will. And you know what? People don't deal with them. You know, there's natural discipline that you want to do, but you need to understand the children. Lots of times rebellion and stuff and things go on. We act like today that's just a natural thing. You know, that's just, well, you know, that's them just growing up. You know, it's the terrible twos. You know, people say that. Man, I turns my stomach when I hear people say that. We didn't go through terrible twos in my house because we stopped the devil before he got a hold of the two-year-old. We didn't think the devil operating from the two-year-old was cute. We didn't think the devilish little things they wanted to do was cute. Because when it becomes cute, when they're two, when they're three, they don't want to quit it. Because you thought it was cute. And when they're 15, they're still acting like the two-year-old. It ain't cute, is it? We don't want to do it. But lots of times, see, what we did, we try to deal with these things in the natural. It's one of the things that the Lord taught me when I first got born again. I got born again in January, and in February of that year, the Lord spoke to me and told me, He said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. So if my endeavor from that point was to learn to be led by the Spirit, to listen on the inside. And when I started to learn to listen on the inside, I had a very difficult time in Christian life because the majority of Christians, now understand, I'm a baby Christian. And I'm around Christians then born again 20, 30 years Spirit-filled. And these people, I started thinking I was going insane. Because I'm seeing things just completely different than they do. I'm thinking, what's going on, God? I got to the point where I just thought, something's wrong with me. Because everybody, I mean, practically everybody's going a different direction. And finally, I started to understand. They're not following the Spirit. They're following generally their religious beliefs and how they believe things are. And they walk, and they're ignoring the Holy Spirit completely. Now, I was such a spiritual giant. I was just listening to teachings about listening to your Spirit. And I started realizing things that were going on. They're trying to solve problems and do things through the natural. They're always dealing with people. They're never dealing with the spirits behind things and what's going on first. Dealing with things, bringing things to a halt. Finding out what you can deal with and what you can't. Now understand this. Some people, they might have a spirit motivated and you stop them, but stop that spirit. But you know, they can still decide they want to do wrong too. You know, everybody ain't the devil made me do it. Some people, they just want to do it. But you know what? Then you have to deal with the person. But, if you don't deal with the spirits that's going on around, and this is one thing, see, we haven't done our nation. The devil's been able to run everything because the church has been political, it's been everything else but spiritual. But it starts with the home. See, I learned about dealing with demonic powers, dealing with our home. I learned how to deal with spirits and that stuff that come to try to divide your family and cause trouble in the family. I've learned to deal with that. See, you're dealing with that all the time. You know. You're dealing, it's just like growing. My parents dealt with it. Outside info, we'd bring it home. See, my parents knew nothing about these things, the Spirit. They weren't taught them in church. They weren't taught that stuff. So, they just thought, you know, we were just acting like heathens, you know. They thought we were just acting heathen and stuff. But they didn't realize what we were putting up with. Is today we have all this kind of stuff. We have loads of things today and we think it's really great, and our schools have all these special programs for special kids. Loads of these special kids are demonically bound. And we're trying to teach them and handle them through the natural and through psychology. You see, I learned this myself. I was a go here, but this is helpful. My notes ain't in this direction, but I see that the Holy Ghost is going this direction. Because we need to understand the family. We're in a war, folks. And it's a war we've been losing by being unspiritual, by trying to deal with things in the natural and not understanding. And I know, like with our home and dealing with things, I know with myself, there was things that I just had mental blocks growing up when I was a kid when it came to learning. See, and they would have said, you know, that Gibson kid, you know, he has some kind of either a syndrome or a something or other that he has this problem. See, he got this problem. And I didn't realize till I got born again that that problem was demonic. My parents never knew it. Nobody ever knew it. Nobody ever knew from school. And I tell you what, I didn't have a learning disability. I had a demonic power that was trying to, that had latched itself to me, and nobody knew anything about it. And when I got born again, I got free of that thing. It's like Kenneth Hagin. See, what really dawned on me was the fact, because Kenneth Hagin had said this himself, and I remember listening to it. He said, now when he was in school back yonder, more years than me, he said, you know, they had A, B, C, D, and D was the lowest grade. You know, we added an F on there, that way we could get some more kids pass. Like today, it'll go down to X, I guess. You'll have to get an X. We'll have all the rest of them are passing grades. We're going to help kids pass. But you know, he said, I was a straight D student in school. And he said, when I got saved, he said, I became a straight A student. See, he was bound demonically. When he got saved, he said, my mentality changed. My mentality changed. And we don't realize that people have problems. See, we had the same trouble. What happened was, I think it was third grade. All of a sudden they came along and they said, they told us, Alyssa, we're going to put her in a remedial reading course. She has a problem with in the areas of reading. We had never noticed anything before, and teachers before never said nothing about it. But the first thing I did is most people said, well, what do we got to do to me? First thing I did is I prayed. I asked God, what are you going to do about this? And this is what the Lord told me to do. He said, now this one thing, see, you got to ask God what to do, and you got to know why. You know, you could have somebody who could actually have a mental problem. I mean, a malfunction in the brain. You could actually have that. And sometimes you look around and that's what we think's going on. There's a lot of malfunctions in the brains today. But there's a lot of demonic things. But the Lord said to me, he said, when you put her to bed at night, he said, you go and you lay hands on her every night, lay your hand on her head and pray in tongues over her every night. How many of you ever pray tongues over your kids? You do that. See, you should, that's a thing you should be doing. See, we always pray mentally and we do our now I lay me and hope I don't die and I get up in the morning, that kind of stuff, and say, boy, wasn't that cool. Anyhow, I ain't going to sleep if I might die. I want to stay awake. Well, who's going to kill me at night? God? But anyhow, so I just started doing that every night. I started doing that. 3 weeks' time, the teacher in the remedial reading course said, she don't need to be here. She reads great. And once she got on reading, got so good at it, we had to take books away from her because she wouldn't do her homework. She wanted to read all the time. And she'd just read all the time. She just wanted to always read. I realized what happened. That same spirit, they're called familiar spirits. See, they were familiar with me. They were familiar. And that spirit, and you know what? A lot of you, your problems you have in your life is because familiar spirits in your family you never deal with. And you say, well, you know, like alcoholism. See, I had alcoholism. My dad was an alcoholic. We go back through the lines. Alcoholics, that's alcoholic spirit. When I got born again, that spirit left me. I didn't have a problem with alcohol anymore. See, today we preach, we keep them there. We don't believe in deliverance, and we don't preach gospels of deliverance anymore. We don't preach. We preach the weak man's gospel. John G. Lake said he preaches the strong man gospel. Today we have the weak man gospel. That's what's preached. It's just the forgiveness of sin. That's all you got. See, I was preached that I would get delivered when I accepted Jesus. So, you know, I had faith to get delivered. If it ain't preached, you can't get delivered. You get delivered from whatever your faith is to your preached. You'll get the Jesus you accept. And if you've been taught a cheap one, that's the one you get. That's what you get, a cheap Jesus. And see, there's things that we deal with in life and we go on. And lots of times people say, well, this is just the way that we are. No, it's not. It's spirits we're yielded to. It's spirits that we yield to things. And we start understanding that the things that we're yielded to, what is going on, what is happening here? You know, I find people, you know, you find this all the time. People that don't like a certain thing about their parent, they become exactly like them. You see, I realized I got saved. I didn't have to be like my dad. There's things about my dad, and I'm not talking against him. He didn't know the way from he was raised and he was taught as a Christian. He did the best he could, and praise God that he did the best he could. I thank God for it. But there's things that I realized. I'm not going to do things that he did. I'm not heading that direction. That's not the direction. I don't have to. See, I don't have to accept laziness and say, well, that's just the way that I am. And this is the way God made me. And you know, we followed all the psychology of the world. See, you got it, genes. See, your genes are messed up. I have genes at home that are messed up. They're ugly things, and I put them on and wear them to go to work. They're messed up genes. I don't wear them out for good, okay? I work in those genes. To me, that's genes. But all this gene junk, all this stupid gene, and we bought all this stuff. The Bible teaches us different, but it don't matter to us. If your genes need fixed, God can fix them. You don't have to accept that. They say, well, it's genetic now. See, you're a drunk. It's genetic. You can't, you know, if you're a murderer, we can't put you in jail anymore because you can't help it. It's in your genes. Do you know it's going that way, folks? This is called medical science. It's demonic and it's sinful. But the church and Christians accept a lot of this stuff. They accept stuff. They accept stuff that the devil does to their kids and stuff, and they accept it. Well, this is just how they are when they're growing up. I can say this, and you can ask Wanda, I'm not lying. We didn't have all these troubles with our girls growing up. Well, I'd have sent them to heaven if we had to live the hell most people do. They'd have been with Jesus a long time ago. You see, the Bible says about the kids being disobedient in the last days. That don't mean the Christian kids. That's talking about the world's kids. Disobedience is demonic and it will shorten the life of a child. That's the first commandment with a promise. First commandment with a promise. You know, let me just say this. Jesus taught us about love. You know what Jesus said? How many of you know what Jesus said proves that you love Him? Do you know what He said? What? He talked about it twice. He said, one time He said, you keep my commandments. Another time He said, you keep my word. Do you know what? It's the same among people. We need to teach our kids. If they can tell, my kids could have told me they love me all I want. I only believed it when they obeyed. I never believed my kids loved me when they were disobedient. I never believed that. You see, we need to understand these things, but they need to be taught these things. If they're not taught, we think these little kids are too young to understand. Let me tell you a story. We were out, this is back in 1968. I was out in a Bible school, out in Rhema, and, 1986. And I was in Rhema, 88. In 1988, we were going through the things, like our daughters were really good, but a lot of times they started this thing that every time they got in the car together, they were picking at each other. And they'd sit there and go through this picking thing together. And I'll just tell you personally, I can't stand that and I will not tolerate that. I'm going to tell you what, I'll lock them in the trunk. You know, they can say I abuse, they can say whatever they want. I'll let them suckers raise them then. You take that little heathen. You let them be a heathen and do that. See how it works out for you. And they pick at each other. Well, we were coming home from church one night, you know. See, they'd play the thing, go to church, have a nice kid and all that stuff, and get in the car and act like hell. Not a lot of Christian adults do. We know how to put the face on in the church, man. You might as well laugh. Just get over it. Get over yourself. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I got over me a long time ago. I'll tell you what. I've repented so much lately. It don't even bother me anymore. God can show me anything and I'll just laugh at it. Glory to God. You're right. You're right. You're right. It don't matter. Let's throw that away. Okay. Let's get that one done. You got to do it, folks. But anyhow, so I really got angry. They were getting on the way home to church. But some, I knew inside, man, this wasn't a natural thing. I knew I got mad at first, but it was like something came over me. I was mad. And I'll never forget, we pulled into the parking lot. We had the apartment complex we lived in. And I pulled in the parking lot, and I stopped, and I told the girls, I said, you go in the house, you go in the apartment, and you sit down on the sofa. I'm going to talk with you guys. And I said that, and I thought while I was saying it, why am I saying this? What am I going to say to them? Other than I'm mad. What am I going to say? Well, you know, you're going to have to deal with this thing. You know, you got to deal with it. And so Wanda and the girls got out and went in the house. And I thought, you know, Wanda probably thought, oh, my God, what's going to happen here with this? And the kids, you know, they're scared to death. And they're going in the house. Dad's mad. I was very angry. But I found it wasn't natural. God was very angry. And I said, the Lord, Lord, what am I going to say when I go in there to those kids? What am I going to say when I walk in there? I said, I don't, you know, I said this, and I said, it came up out of my spirit, but I don't want to say. He said, you go inside, and he said, you're going to know what to say. And what I said when I got inside, this is God speaking to kids, to two young kids. This is God talking. I quoted Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3. About honoring your father and mother, that'll go well with you. You'll live long in the land. And God said this to tell them this. They're going to shorten their lives. They keep doing this junk. See, many times we wonder why people die early. Why guy died in his 50s or guy, and people said, you're such a good person. What, I don't understand why. Cause way back yonder, they were in rebellion and never corrected, never repented of it. Kids got to repent of their stuff too. And you gotta teach them repentance. You gotta teach them if they don't repent, you be like God about it and hold it against them. You teach them repentance. They don't repent, it's on the books. We teach them how God works, we don't do that. See, because you know what happens? You need to understand this. You can get a child to stop yielding to demonic things when they find out there's no payoff in it. They won't yield to it. Go read the Old Testament, it talks about it. It talks about punishing a child. You punish them so they don't yield to devilish things. You punish them. Why? They learn it don't pay off. People understand reward and non-reward. They understand that real good. People understand joy and pain. They understand it. And it's one thing is you teach those things. See, we taught our children those things. I mean, we don't run around beating our kids all the time or anything like that. We never did that. But they got spankings. And they knew when things were seriously wrong, we dealt with it seriously. We didn't mess around with it. You know, when our kid, I'll never forget this. When Alyssa was a little baby, just a little baby. You know, one thing we didn't do it. People do today. People take everything and make the house what they call baby proof. That's so the child can get into anything they want that don't, you know, that won't hurt. They get into everything else. I decided this. They ain't going to be running this way. Children need to learn not to touch things. They need to learn. Why? Because I'll tell you what, you're going to mess that kid up thinking he can touch everything that's in his sight. So when things ain't, say, you've already trained them that they can touch. That I've hit everything I thought bad, and I'm going to tell you what, you live in a world and there's a lot of bad. You teach them. Now, I'll never forget this. Because she was just a little baby. She'd start learning to crawl around, and she'd crawl to go to stuff, and she'd want to get at something. And she would reach for it, and I'd just reach out, tap her hand. Well, then she'd get the big lip. Now, it didn't hurt her none. Her feelings were hurt. And my mother-in-law said, oh, you shouldn't. She's too young for that. And I said to my mother-in-law, if I let it go and she goes into your house, because she had a lot of stuff she didn't want kids at, I said, if she gets in it, you better not open your mouth. Well, she didn't say no more after that. Raising my child, I'm going to do it, not mama-law. And you know, we did that. Never. We never had either girls get into stuff. They didn't get in. We taught them what they could have and what they could. And I'm going to tell, I found this out. A kid at about a year old is twice as smart as the parent. At least twice as smart. At least. That's a minimum. Because parents run around and think that that child is so dumb and they don't realize how intelligent that child is and what it's able to learn and understand. I always said to Pitt, your kid at a year old is dumber than a dog. I can train a dog. It's at 3 or 4 months, but you can't train a kid. This is what we believe. Our kids are stupid idiots. That animals are smarter. That's what we believe, and we teach it in schools. Animals are the best. People are bad. And the Christians teach it in the home to their kids. We can train the dog, but you can't train the kids. It's a wrong spirit we operate in. It's a wrong spirit, and we perpetuate that thing in the home. I always said, my kids are smarter than anybody's dog. They can learn a lot more than anybody's dog can. You ain't putting my kid in that class. And I found out our kids picked up things quickly. They got it right away. They understood it. We don't do that today. We let them spend a couple years out of hand and then spend the next 3 years trying to get them back in hand again before they become a terrorist. This is good preaching, folks. I wasn't going to go here today, but hallelujah, it's good things. Because really, it's a warfare we're in. And it's a warfare of the mind. It's the way that we think. It's the way that we think. I'm going to tell you what, we need to hold with esteem concerning God's creation. When we lower it, you know, just from the scripture, I'll just read to you here. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 through 5. Now this is sort of a jump ahead of where I was going to go, but I just felt the Spirit of the Lord. It says, listen, in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 3 it starts, says, for though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we're living here, we're in a flesh body, aren't we? This is what we're in. Did you ever notice that? You know, mine ain't near as cute as I used to think it was. Now it's like I look in the mirror and I say, my God, who's that guy in that side? I'll tell you. Say, we could scare little children. Watch it. Okay. It says what? We do not war according to the flesh. See, we're not supposed to be warring according to the flesh. Now listen to what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, that word carnal there would be the same word fleshly. Now they translate it carnal. They're not fleshly. What are they? Mighty, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. But now, what's the stronghold? This is going to deal with what the stronghold. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How you think is going to determine your warfare. It's how you think. You see, I learned this from the natural. When the Lord told me He was going to teach me faith, how to walk by faith by my military training. See, there's one thing that I noticed this. People who don't know about warfare, or natural, so we're talking about actual warfare, you know, out here in the natural, they shoot at each other and kind of. I knew from the standpoint I used to talk about it, there was no way to win the war in Vietnam. I was in it. There was no way to win it. Because people who were not tied to trained military were calling the shots. The Senate and the House were determining. The president was returned. People who were not even trained in warfare. How's it going to turn out? It can't turn out. You can't have people calling the shots who don't know nothing about war. And the Pentagon didn't sit down and say who is the best guy to send to run this or to run that. The Congress decided who, and the president, we want to send this guy, this general. You know, this guy kisses up to me and I like him. Let's send him over. You see, there's no way to win a war when you have somebody calling shots. You need to understand this. You can't win the spiritual war with a civilian mind. You can't win a physical war with a civilian mind. See, we're supposed to take on God's mind. And that's the only way to win this war. That's the only way to fight this war. I'm going to tell you what, this is why people don't see faith as a good warfare, because it is a terrible warfare when you're trying to do it with your natural mind. You lose every time. You'll lose. The devil will beat you on the field of thought, of natural thought. He'll lick you every time. Every time you think you gain ground, you're going to get kicked. Every time you think it's going to be the same thing. It's a renewed mind to get a different way of thinking. See, our thinking is about, an unseen kingdom. See, we're so tied to see, we gotta get past this thing of this seen stuff. The Bible tells us about the demonic powers that are involved. You know, in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The Bible says that's your enemy. What does the church do? Nothing about that. That's your enemy. People aren't your enemy. People aren't what you're dealing with. And see, you've got to get that in your mind. When you see what's going on and why people are doing the things they're doing, you've got to get in your mind where the real problem is in the world. This is why, if a person don't get born again and a changed spirit, they cannot become a changed person. It ain't going to happen. We can do all we want to try to get people. Look at all this shit. You know, we were sending our kids to college to become these really nice people, and you know, and they don't want war, and they don't want all this stuff. And who are the ones tearing up the country and messing everything up? It's all those peaceful ones that we raised in the natural. We opened them up to demonic stuff and paid for it to send them to it. Good preaching. We paid for it. And then they turned out the way we trained them and were mad. We sent them to these people that were ungodly and trying to put, they didn't go down there, they didn't teach them, they taught them some of a subject, but they had all kind of other stuff thrown into it. I remember Alyssa coming home from college, Penn State. She said, you go to class, they don't even teach a class that you're in. And she said, we have this one woman, I forget what the class was, is teaching. She said, all she does is talk about women's rights. That's all we hear in the class all the time. She just talks about women's rights all the time. It has nothing to do with the class we're in. She said, that's what we sit and listen to all the time. Penn State's a toilet. But it ain't no different. It ain't no different with the rest. They become toilets. Putting stuff in people's minds and putting all this propaganda. We're paying to send our kids to colleges. And we think they're studying subjects. What they could study the books at home. Lisa said, only thing that we know, we have tests. We have to learn the subject ourselves. They don't give it to us. Because we have to listen to the professor the whole time. Well, actually it wasn't a professor. She said, she's 2 years there in college. And she said she never had a professor as a teacher. Said they were all student teachers. You get nothing but a bunch of student teachers. Why? Who've been trained in this monkey stuff and all this kind of thing. And they're the ones standing in front of all the kids. And we're paying money to do that. Calling this higher education. How do you like the higher education today? Isn't it putting out better people? Isn't our government just full of better people, all these educated college people? Isn't it a better? Oh, this thing's wonderful. You see, we're fighting a battle that cannot be won where we're fighting it. See, we gotta quit. We have bombarded. One of the worst, most horrible things that really is in so many ways is the internet, because it's constantly, if people go to it, it's constantly bombarding you with thoughts of things and stuff. And you never know what's true and not true. And it's number one, I found this, I don't pay a bit of attention anymore to scientists and different people. I pay no attention to that anymore. I just so blown out and so stupid, I never heard so much dumb in my life. Because you can't sit down. You know, they'll tell you things and they'll say things. You don't know if it's true or not. But there's one thing I know. And I know this without of a doubt. This thing's true. If I'd spend as much time in this stuff as we do the internet, we wouldn't be in trouble as this nation that we're in today. We avoid truth to play. To have things to fill our eyes and sight with all kinds of stuff, we're doing things instead of filling our minds with the Word of God, because that's the place where the devil, you're either going to overcome or you're going to fail. That's the place. That's how you get healed. You get healed by your mind submitted to God and not submitted to your problem. See, we're fighting a warfare, but we're fighting it. We ain't fighting it with the mighty weapons that God's given. We're trying to fight this thing in the natural with psychology and all this stuff, all these things. We're not stopping and saying, hey, hold it. this stuff is downright messed up that's going on in here. I mean, I've been praying, God, dear Lord, we need your help. We need, God, I want your thoughts. There's all kind of thoughts going on out here. God, I am tired of the thoughts. I'll tell you, I can hardly stand to listen to half Christians. They're full of the thoughts of the world. They're full of the thoughts and the ideas. They're still blessed. I mean, ministers still out here, you know, fighting the election stuff and things and all this kind of stuff and what the government's doing. I don't need that report. We've got 10 million other reports online that are already broadcasting all that junk. I don't need to go to church or turn on a minister to hear that. We don't need none of that. I don't send you dollars to tell me the problem. Everybody knows what the problem is. It's them, the ones telling us, because they're part of the problem. They feed negativity so much that after a while, you don't believe anything good can come out of anything. Is my prayer even working? If I'm asking God, is that thing even up? Oh, because you're getting bombarded all the time. You know? Well, they're going to do this, and they're going to take your rights from this, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. You know, and we sit over here and listen to these guys. Are the guys in the right wing any doing better when they're speaking negativity all the time, when all they do is speak? They're hopeless. They're hopeless. I didn't pay anybody to go to Washington to tell me all the problems down there. We sent people down to solve problems, and all they do is tell us what the problems are. And then they don't do nothing to ever fix them. They don't have, you know, they'll stand up, you know, and, oh, they'll tell you all these things that they believe in. But when it comes to vote time, lots of times they ain't voting. They're voting and sending money into things that they said that they didn't even believe in, all that they think's wrong. Well, we have to, because this is that and this is, well, if we don't give money to that, we can't give that. This is really needed. So what we're going to do, we're going to help evil so we can help good. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to start sending checks to the devil. What do you think? We'll send checks to the devil and God because we're going to treat everybody fair. Will it work? Oh. Let me ask you folks a question. Do you sense from yourself there is more, that you sense more demonic pressure now than you did a year ago? Well, it is. It is. There's more demonic pressure. There's so much. You know, back in March, there in March, is about the first week of March, what I got is when I was turning around praying about some things, and I was, had spent a lot of time, long time in prayer, and I'd been praying. I was praying about our nation, and that's when that happened. I had the vision. And in the vision, I saw what the church looked like and what the nation looked like. God showed me illustrations what they were like. Really, is our nation is really barren of spirituality nationally. We're barren of spirituality. And the facts of the church, the church can't enter in to the presence of God. They can't get in. Now that doesn't mean everybody. The church in general, I mean, is just doing religious stuff. There's many things we call good ministries, but they aren't doing it. They're not entering in the face of God, because you can listen to what people are preaching and doing. They're still focused on things about the past that we were focused on was failure. But they're still focused on it. They're beating dead horses because they don't know what the mind of God is. People don't know what the mind of God is. Well, when I got over and I saw that thing, you know, my heart just ached when I saw was going on. And I began to pray, and as I started to pray, then the Spirit of God came on me, and I started praying, and I was praying, and the Spirit of prophecy came on me, and I began to pray under the Spirit of prophecy. And the thing that marveled me with that is what was coming out of me was really the compassion of God for our nation and the church. I mean, I would have thought, man, he's going to throw us under the bus. I mean, we got to get saved. But his compassion, he wants things changed. His desire, God's moving in that direction. And then while I was praying that, then all of a sudden the Spirit shifted and I began to pray because I was going down to Randall Greer's ministry and I wasn't even thinking about that. But see, you get over in the Spirit and things come to you that you're not even, it has nothing to do with mental. And all of a sudden I'm praying for the meeting down in Gatlinburg I'm going to, and all of a sudden these words came out time and time again, kept going out. Great breakthrough, great breakthrough, great breakthrough. And that's the one prophecy that I put back earth. It's a breakthrough. That promise, prophecy is about breakthrough. Because the Lord, that kept coming to me. And I thought, boy, isn't that something? And then the following Saturday, I went to go to bed and I walked in the bedroom and I went to get into bed. And just as clear, the Spirit of God said to me, March is the month of breakthrough. And so I went down that meeting and down that meeting, God was dealing with things about breakthrough. He was, see, God was speaking about breakthrough. But anyhow, in that meeting, one of the things also I had been praying about because of Kenneth Hagin's prophecy in 1963, the one he talked about America, its condition, and about how the government really, high government officials are going to move toward communism. That's what they're going to do. We just call it socialism today. We make it pretty. Don't sound near as bad. And, so it's going to move in that direction. And, anyhow, in that prophecy, he talks about he saw in that vision he was caught up to heaven and he saw fire coming down and he saw fire coming down from heaven and that fire then broke up into pieces and fell on men and he saw men with fire on their heads and on their hands. And he went on to say about what they're going to do. Well, see, it's one of the things is prophecy wise. I've learned this as you take prophecy. When I remember seeing that prophecy really spoke to me, I thought. This is God talking in this thing, and I prayed over and prayed over, and I kept getting stuck at that part about the fire of God. So I began to pray about the fire of God. I began to pray about that, and I would talk to God about this fire of God. Well, I'll tell you, I got it in me, because I know, Lord, the church, we need this fire. We need the fire of God on us. Because it isn't on the church in general today, it's not. Even among what we call good, we don't see the fire of God like we need to. And so, but I was praying about it. Now, Randall Greer knew nothing about that. See, praying about things, this is one thing. It's about following the Spirit. And this is what I'm trying to talk to you about. Because we need changes in the Spirit. It's enough of the natural junk. It ain't working. Well, Randy Greer, he called us up to one to pray for us. He laid hands on me. And he prayed and he said, concerning the fire of God. Now, he knew that. He don't know I'm praying about this. He said, the fire of God's going to come on you and you're going to burn up. I thought, dear God, that's what I've been asking for. I want to burn up, see. I want to burn till there's nothing left. I ain't going to hold anything back, you know. I don't want a little fire. I want to burn up. And God said, I will. Hallelujah, I'm going to burn up. But I want you to understand, see, I knew that something was going on. It was this, that I was stepping into another area. I was going to step up to a higher place. Now, number one, you're going to find this here, Christian Wall. But to enter places, a higher place, it's just like Jesus. Jesus got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he was sent into the wilderness. Tested of the devil for 40 days. And then it said he came out in the power of the Spirit. See, there's one thing that there's proving. To move into higher levels requires different things. There's a lot of pressure coming, and you know what? I want you to understand this, is don't be afraid it's a proving time. I'll tell you, since March, I've had more devils come against me. Oh, stuff, you name it. Just every time I turn around, it's just like something. It's just pressure, pressure, pressure. But see, we're in a war. We're in a war. Now, it's easy. You know what Christians usually do when the pressure comes? If it stays any amount of time, they start backing away. Because I want to get away from the pressure. They don't realize that they need to break through. You need to get to the other side of that thing. You need to stand until that stops. You need to stand. See, when you've done all, stand. But we don't. Why? Because we keep trying to fight things in the natural. What we want is a good feeling. It's just like yesterday. There's been pressures coming in, and there were certain things that, man, I just got over and I told God, I said, I'm just taking time to pray because I need to build myself up in my most holy faith. See, it's one thing you need to spend, if you're feeling a lot of pressure, you need to be praying in tongues a lot. You need to be building yourself up in your most holy faith, or you ain't going to have no power to stand. You need to build yourself. Now, we meditate on the Word, but you need, and so, you know, yesterday I just thought, hey, Lord, man, stuff's been coming against it. I just said, Lord, I'm just taking time. I'm just going to pray in other tongues. And I'll tell you what, I prayed in other tongues, and I prayed in other tongues, and I prayed in other tongues, and my mind's saying, this thing ain't going nowhere. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Dad, oh my God, it didn't seem like it was doing a thing. It's just, I'm praying, and it's like, in my mind, I'm battling my mind. See, you got thought. See, your mind wants you to quit. The mind wants you to stop. See, you're not getting anywhere. See, if your mind has mostly tied to the natural, you won't spend much time doing things like this. You won't do it. Because you need to feel some kind of accomplishment, or you need to see some kind of accomplishment. A spiritual mind doesn't operate that way. A spiritual mind, I just kept praying, and the more it kept coming to me, this ain't going nowhere, doing nothing. And I'll tell you what, if you wanted to go by feelings, I'd have thought for sure I was probably lost. You know, that God done quit, He moved, did went someplace else. And I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying away, and I'm thinking, hey, the Bible says, the Bible says when I'm praying in tongues, I'm edifying myself. That's what I'm edifying myself. That's what I'm doing. I'll tell you, I felt no edification whatsoever. I didn't feel a thing. I would pray in tongues. I'd talk to God about things. I told God certain things. I wanted answers on about certain stuff and different things. And I'd just pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues. And I did this for a long time. And I just went on and on praying in tongues. And so finally, you know, I'm there praying in tongues. At first I thought it was me. Then I heard my phone. My phone said if somebody texts me, it's a knock knock. It goes dunk dunk, you know. And so it did the knock knock thing, and I'm there praying in tongues, and I was going to look at it, and it kept coming to me, look at the phone, and I thought, you know, I'm sort of thinking in my mind, no, I got to stay over here and do this, but then I realized it was inside of me, he's telling me to look at the phone. And I thought, I don't want to get I'm having enough time. This is like plowing the field with a mule, and it's almost dead now. The mule's done fell down, and we're trying to get this thing up again, and it's like, oh, we're going nowhere. And I go and look at this text. And here it's a text from a person that I haven't seen for a good while now. And I would have not thought about them texting me. And they text me with an answer, a thing God said. Exactly what I was looking for. I was wondering, what would have happened if I had quit? What would have happened if I just had kept plowing away and plowing away and plowing away? You see, this is what happens to us many times. See, sorry to say, but most of Christianity is McDonald's Christianity. It's based on a quick drive-through. I put my order in. I get my thing. See, that's why we love this confession thing. I just make a confession and walk off. Notice how much confessions fail? Because it's not like you got to build yourself up on the inside to when your confessions come out, they're full of power. And not just nice little words, cute words said. See, we need to come to that place. We need to arrive. And see, we're in a warfare. Now, I'm going to tell you what, the warfare ain't over. I got a good answer. Thank God I got a good answer. But I'm going to tell you what, there's pressure. And there's pressure because if you're standing against, the devil's been given a lot of leeway. And let me tell you, you need to understand this. When you pray, you're not just pushing against the devil and the world, you're pushing against much of the church world who is believing the opposite way that the Bible says to go. Do you understand that? Christians, they're believing and praying. They're praying on the devil's side for the stuff the world is. We need to understand the pressure. This is why you need the help of the Holy Ghost. You need to get in this thing. You need to get your mind fixed. See, there's a lot of stuff of pressure. You know, and I'm not worried about it. I'll tell you, me and God can push them all if we have to. But you need to come to that. You need to get your mind right. These are the things that are going on in the spirit realm. God showed me these things years ago. When you get out here praying, you don't realize the obstacles that you're facing out here in the realm of the spirit. You get this casual Christianity that's full of sin and everything. And those people are going to church making prayers. They don't realize they're on the devil's side. They've done joined him. And you're fighting that. You're standing against that. You're praying up against that force. And so you need to understand that. That's why you don't get moved. There's a lot of pressure. Especially today, I find when you start doing what's right, man, pressure comes knocking on the door. Hallelujah. It comes pounding on the door. Wants you to stop. Wants you to do something natural. Oh my God, come to my mind, more natural things to do. More, oh, you could do this or you could do that going on. And I'm there trying to pray past that thing. You know, I can't look at that. I gotta keep myself in line here with this thing. See, we like natural solutions. But I've seen what natural solutions have bought. We're in a mess today in this nation because of all the natural solutions Christians have done. I'm gonna tell you what, I want God to move. I want something that is so outstanding that they said, you know what, that stupid preacher couldn't have done that. That had to be God. We want the power of God. I was sitting last night before I went to bed reading about John G. Lake. I was reading, you know, some of the stuff of his writings and different things that he talked about and he did. He talked about his meetings and things when he was in South Africa and even in other places. He talked about the moves of God. He talked about, you know, I sat down and I looked things and I was reading one of his sermons that he did on dominion. And I thought, my God, the church world isn't even close. I don't know a TV minister. I don't care how big name they are and say how spiritual they are. Or even close to where that man was and his understanding and belief of God in some things. It's just like, my God, I sit and read and think, dear God, I'm a slacker. This guy, his confidence concerning God. But there's one thing, the move of God. We need to understand as none of you at any time in your life have ever seen moves of God like they had back yonder. You have never even seen anything close to the miraculous that they had. We have not experienced this. This stuff has not come. This stuff, when you back up and back into the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that bought Azusa Street and John G. Lake's ministry and those things come out, the power of God going on. Absolutely so phenomenal. It makes us look like a bunch of slackers. The best today are a bunch of slackers compared to that. Now, God don't have me reading that stuff to try to get me to look and say, boy, Ed, you know, throw the towel in. You ain't going nowhere. You know, He wants me to look at that because He wants me to desire that. If you're only desiring what you all have already seen or known, forget it. I don't care what you had in your past. Ain't none of it was nearly enough to what we need. That will not change this nation in this day and time. It's going to require bigger. We got to get out of our, lose our minds. Lose your mind. It wasn't any good anyhow. It ain't worth nothing anyway. Lose your mind. Well, we fight to keep it. See, I want to stay sane. No, make me nuts. I want to be crazy. I want to think out beyond. I want to think out beyond bigger. I want to be able to believe God out beyond bigger. I want a move of God that seems insane. I want to be a move of God that is so unorganized compared to what we do today. Most spirit-filled people today would complain to see what God did in those days. They wouldn't like it. It's not, we have to have more organization. We have to have, you know, we got all these nice little things because we got to stay real dignified, you know. We don't want anybody to think we're weird. I'm going to tell you, I'm weird for Jesus. I'm weird. I want to get weirder. Because this kind of new move of God is going to move into people would think to be weird because it's the mind of God rather than the mind of man today. You can't put God in the box of science. See, all these Christian scientists out here trying to put God into their scientist box to prove God. I'm going to tell you what, you can't put God in a science box. You can't put Him in. You know, and I've told God, God, man, what have we done? We've tried to put You in and fill You into this place that, you know, operating within this place that we can view and see that makes sense to us. You know, it really sounds good. And He's there looking at things and saying, man, that's cheap. I don't want none of that. you know, what He wants us to see and do, what He wants to bring to pass, His compassion for this nation to turn things around. In John G. Lake's ministry of reading things concerning, one of the biggest things that happened in the revivals, see, we look at those revivals in South America, in South Africa, where they reached out to so many people, got saved and stuff. You know, the number one, the biggest move of God was God moving in the churches and bringing the church to repentance. The number one thing in America today, the church needs to come to repentance. The backslidden church. And if we don't see our backslidden condition, we're in bad shape. We can point fingers out here at people, but man, I got to point them at me. When I see to the level God wants me to go and where I'm at, and holy Mechalandi, let's get this thing fixed. We haven't arrived at the place. We haven't arrived yet. We haven't gone to a place. And we need to understand this. There's things, and there's change must come. And I'm going to tell you what, we can't stop the pressure till the change comes. You need to understand this. Randall Greer says this all the time. He said, concerning dealing with the devil, he said, if you can't sit down and shut your mouth and pay attention and do what's right, he said, the devil ain't going to listen to you at all. See, I don't care how much authority you have over the devil. You need power to deal with him. And you will not have power as long as we allow, you know, well, I'm a pretty good Christian. I'm all right. You know, I'm good and this and that. I'm going to tell you, you want to step into a place of power? The power that we need to step into is going to require something. And it's going to require us stepping into a place we ain't been before. It's going to require something of us to step into a place that we have. Because I'll tell you what, we've done let the devil loose in this nation. He ain't going back in no box easy. He's not going back easy. And it's going to require power to do so. God needs a people of power. And we need to be able to see things like He sees things. We need to be able to look past. We need to sit down. It's like myself. When I sit down and I read John G. Lake and I read things and I read stuff about him, I'm thinking, dear Lord, man, I got to change. Last night, laying in bed, 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up. I'm there praying again. And praying, you know what? It seemed like going nowhere. Another one of those. And the Lord told me, then showed me 2 things about myself I need to change my attitudes on. 2 things. You see, if I want to step into certain places, there's things. See, we don't realize there's certain attitudes and things. But you can't see what you're really like till you get in the presence of God. You don't get into the mirror of God. You will never fix your life. Now, He isn't showing me this thing. I've been asking for things, and to get those things, then I must come to changes. I must change. And you too. This isn't just about the pastor getting fixed. This is all getting fixed, getting in the face of God. See, attitudes, things are wrong, you know, and I see that. I said, you're right. My attitude's wrong in those areas. Dealing with those things, viewing things wrong. Don't have a good attitude. See, you need to understand, when you get into prayer, you take your attitude into prayer with you. And your attitude will put you over, put you under. See, that's why some people say, well, we've just been praying about that and praying. No, I'm going nowhere. What's your attitude? You know, I found people, and that sometimes they're praying about things, and they're praying about a certain thing. You know why they're praying about it? They don't care about the people involved. They just, those people annoy them. And I just want this to stop because it annoys my life. They have no love or compassion for the person. Lots of times Christians are praying for things. Well, we want to get the government fixed because they annoy me. We want to get this fixed. Pelosi upsets me. We don't care if she goes to hell, but she upsets me. I want a more comfortable life. You know, I want her to make decisions I like. You see, those attitudes, you can't carry those attitudes. You can't walk into the prayer room with God and take that attitude in and make changes. And see, we need to see that. We need to get our things about. Don't carry God's attitude. That's one of the things I found out, you know. If anybody, I've just told the Lord, if there are any judgment done or anything, I'm going to put that in your hands. I'm going to let you be the judge of it. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pray for these. I'm going to pray for them to ask you to bless them, Lord God, and to help them, give them wisdom. Lord God, send people across their path. Lord God, you know somebody might come, speak to them. Speak the truth to them if they'd come to Jesus. At least I want them to hear the truth. I want them to come. Even if they don't respond to it, I want them to hear what the truth is. I don't want them to come before Jesus and say, nobody ever told me. I want them to hear. You know, people are always saying, you know, this is an important thing. We're in an age and time here, and I want to tell you what, it's the end of the age is closing fast. It's closing fast. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, I don't want to close that door as it is. I don't want it to close as is. Number two, I don't want it to close with me in the situation that I'm in. I want to step into some things before this. I want to walk in some things. I don't want to be God dragging me along. Hallelujah. I want to get to heaven and Jesus say, what on earth were you doing down there? I don't know about you. I would like to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be Apostle Paul say, hey, I fought a good fight. Paul didn't say, I fought my fight. He said, no, I fought. It was a faith fight. Faith fight's God's fight. Are you in a God fight? Is it really a faith fight? Just because you're believing something don't make it a faith fight. Faith comes by hearing the word. Is it in line with what God's doing? Is it in line with His word? Is it in line? You know, many times we're picking fights and there are faith that we would like to do and not necessarily what God would like to do. Whether you realize it or not, for your own best interest, it's good the election turned out the way it did. If Trump would have won the election, the church would have went and laid down and went to sleep. That's exactly what Christians would have done. They'd have went and laid down and went back to sleep again and continued on their own stupid path again. Guilty is charged! Get over it! Guilty is charged! Sometimes things happen, they're good. They get you to stand up. See, the first thing that I realized all this was going on, all these things, this is all natural stuff. We're missing the spiritual. Most spirit-filled Christians haven't come to that reality yet. They're still fighting the physical battles. They haven't realized that there's a real warfare that you and I can step in, and we're mighty through God to step into it. And we can step in that thing in a mighty way. Hallelujah. The weapons are, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. We can take every thought into captivity. We are able to do that. We have a God-given ability to do it. The Bible says this, you have the mind of Christ. He didn't say you're going to get it. You have it. You got the Holy Spirit. We can get our mind in order. We can set our mind. We decide what we want. See, he said, what are you praying? Are you praying that, you know, you put on the mind of God? See, we're trying to, you know, get this, get that, get the other. But the things that we really need. Hallelujah. I ask the Lord, Lord, teach me what I don't know. Show me what I don't understand. Do something to this guy to make him useful. Do something in me. I want to be able to understand. I want to be a capacitor for your power. I don't want to be a resistor. See, a capacitor takes a charge and then it can release it. A resistor just makes it hard for the power to get through. That's what most Christians are, a resistor. Hallelujah. I want the power to come in me and then blow out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we want. But I'll tell you what, I got to become a good capacitor. I'll never forget one time Ken Copeland told this story, and it was a good one. He was praying to God about the power of God. This is many years back. This is back probably the 1980s he talked about this. He said he was praying to God about the move of the Spirit, and he said he had a vision, and in the vision he was standing under this thing, and there was a faucet up above his head, and it was just dripping. And it would drip and hit him on the head. He said, it was just downright irritating. And he's standing there and this is hitting. And he said, he looks up and it dripped into his face. And he said, God, what is that? He said, that's your spirit all clogged up. And he said, my power can't flow through it. You can say amen or oh me. The two. Hallelujah. Do you ever feel like you were just being annoyed? You had enough move of the Spirit to annoy you. You ever been there? If you ain't been there, you never knew moved in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I've been there. I've had enough God move through me to what annoyed me. I said, dear Lord, this is so little it's stupid. Hallelujah. But that's all he could do. Hallelujah. We have to have more. We got to have more. We have to have more. And we can do it. Hallelujah. What God is doing in these days, He wants to unclog us. He wants to get a lot of stuff and attitudes and things that we, a lot of things out of us that free us. I'll tell you what, there's a freedom that I have that I didn't have before. There's a freedom. Hallelujah. And you know what? I love the change. See, I come to, see, you know, if you're fighting this thing and change is hard. Well, sure it is when it's all natural. It's just a hard thing to do. Hallelujah. But get over with God. God will work in you and He can bring you to change. He can help you get past all these things. You know, we don't pray long enough to get changed. We want change. We confess change. But we don't pray long enough to change. I was listening to and reading some stuff about intercession, but listening to Wilford Wright, and he said, he talked about a guy, he said this guy, he had such a terrible temper. He got born again, but he just had this terrible, terrible temper. And he said he'd get up, and he said he hated it. He would fly off. And he said one night, he just decided, this guy decided, he said, I'm going to get down, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to stay in the face of God. He said, till I get a hold of this thing. And he said, this man got, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed for hours. God, he didn't know what to do about it. God, what to do? And he said, after he got up from praying for hours and hours on end, he said, that man never lost his temper again. You see, most of what we try to do and change is through the natural. We're not trying to do it. See, the weapons of our warfare are mighty. He prayed till him and God got together on his temper. He stayed in the face of God till God could work on him. See, we don't have that in the faith people today. We have make a confession and go run off. We don't know about getting in the face of God till a change comes. John G. Lake was believing God for some money for the ministry that he had over in Africa, and money had stopped, and I mean they were down to hardly any food to eat and all kind of stuff going on, and he said I'd believe God for money, and he said it wasn't coming in, and he said, this ain't right. He said, hold it, this ain't right. So he said, I went and sat down. He said, I got down and he said, I started praying, God, what's going on? My money ain't coming. He said, I got in the face of God till I found out. He said, I went to praying and fasting. And he said, 2 days later, he said, the money showed up. And he said, a guy said, God told me to send you this last week, but I didn't send it. But he got in the face of God till that man moved. He didn't know who it was or whatever it was, but he got in the face of God and said, hey God, your word says. See, we don't know about praying like stuff like that. We just make a good confession. See, I already made the good confession and it ain't changed. Now, I want to know what's going on, why this didn't change. What's going on? Did you ever sit down when things ain't working out and start seeking God to find out, God, am I missing it somewhere? What's going on? See, people don't, they'll just, here you go to a preacher and this is what the preacher said. Well, you just need to keep believing the Bible. You need to keep believing the Word. Saying something to you so worthless. Sometimes what we think believing, it's more mental than it is anything spiritual. And we got to find, is there things blocking things? Are there things blocking things that I say I'm believing? Are there things blocking it? Things I need to change? You see, I got the water running a little bit faster now, you know. The water just, it isn't as annoying as it was, you know. It's running faster. I'm getting more and more unclogged. It sure ain't running like I want to. But I want to tell you what, it ain't annoying anymore. Hallelujah. I want to get away from the annoying. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. We're the people of God. Hallelujah. And we're going somewhere. God has a plan for us, and we're going to fulfill that plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is not dangerous to us. He's not trying to get us. He's not holding back from us. Hallelujah. I think one of the main things that He wants from us is fellowship. It's one of the main things that He wants. This is one of the things, is just coming and spending time with Him and talking with Him. You know, and especially in the areas, you know, I was thinking yesterday, and I just got praising God because I'm over here in the natural and I'm setting everything I can to hear God on the inside, and I want to. But you know, God decided another route to speak to me. See, this is what you got to get. See, we can get set in our mind of how we think things ought to go. But see, we can't do that. You know, God does things sometimes completely different. I mean, it's scriptural that somebody would come along and give somebody a word from the Lord. I mean, that's a scriptural thing. But you know, we're sitting over here looking and we're praying. We're wanting to hear from God. Well, God is making sure that I heard from Him. Hallelujah. See, I'm praying to hear from God. Stayed praying till I heard from God. Stayed praying till I heard from God. See, I knew I needed to do something on the inside. I needed to do something so I could end up hearing. My praying allowed God to be able to move through somebody else to talk to me. God chose it that way, but that's the way it works. And we need to know this. Sometimes you need to stay in the face of God about things. There's many times with things I pray where I will maybe over a long period of times, maybe even over months, I pick something up and pray about it every so often on certain things, and I'll just keep picking it up again and picking it up and picking it up and pray for it until I hear something about that and just keep picking it up. See, we got to learn to do that. We got to learn to stay at things. See, this is about warfare. That's what you do in war, you know. In war, you don't go up. It isn't McDonald's at war. If you go up and shots are fired and things didn't work out well, then we're just going to quit and go home. We'll do something else. I mean, just think about it. People in war. I mean, they held things for years. Think about the people in Second World War, Bastogne, what those guys put up with and what they did for all that time out there in the freezing cold, out there holding that place from the Germans. If they had American Christianity, they would have quit and turned themselves over to the Germans and said, yeah, you know, the Germans would probably at least give me something to eat, and they'll take me to a prison camp, at least be a little warm, and I'll have a, you know. They just stayed and stayed till they won. They didn't move till they won. See, we need to get that attitude on us. I'm gonna stay till I win. I'm going to stay in the face of God till I win. I'm going to stay in God. Because what? Can God lose? Nope. You know, you might not feel like God's with you. Don't you go by your feelings. Amen. I didn't feel it yesterday. If you'd asked me yesterday how I felt, I'd have said, I'm probably backslidden on my way to hell. I felt so dead praying. I prayed, and you know what? All I seemed to get was a dry mouth. That's all I got. I just prayed in tongues, and my tongue would start to stick to the roof of my mouth. And I had to, and back to praying in tongues again. Say, boy, this is a real spiritual experience. But see, you get over in the natural of things and you think. But I kept saying, I'm edifying myself. I'm making my spirit sensitive toward God and powerful toward God. That's what I'm doing. And my mind's going, you're an idiot. No. There's voices saying, you know, why don't you go get a drink, or why don't you go do this, or why, you know, mow the yard or do something. I don't know. This needs done or that needs done. And I said, no, I set my time. I'm going to sit down here and I'm going to pray. I need answers. And those answers are more important than things that need to be done. I need spiritual answers. Hallelujah. He's no different toward me than He will be for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't going to tell you you're going to sit down and pray 10 minutes and you're going to find out. Sometimes you do. Sometimes I'm just amazed. Sometimes I talk to God about something, no time He shows up. Sometimes it takes a long time. It seems to be sometimes it takes a long time to break through the flesh, really. And that's what you're doing. You're dealing with your own flesh and your own thoughts and things and breaking through that. That's not always an easy, comfortable thing to do. That's really where the faith fight is. You're breaking through that. Getting past to that place where you and God run into each other. Hallelujah. Well, now you're hooked up where He's at. And that's where you want to come to. Father, I just want to thank You today. Lord God, because you're full of such mercy and compassion. Lord God, there's no way that You're against us. Lord, You designed us to be winners. That's what You designed us for. You made us, Lord God, more than conquerors. That's what you did. You defeated Satan for us. And you've given us your name to throw him out. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you, Father. Father, you gave us the ability of heaven and you've handed it to us. And you've made available the power. And Father, I just pray for each one here today, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray you reveal to them. Because, Lord, we're all in different places and different places of spiritual development and growth. There's things one that one knows that don't. Another might know certain things. Another one doesn't know. But, Father God, you know what makes each one of us tick. You know, Lord God, what we need to know. Things in our lives we need to deal with. Lord God, number one, show us what's important. Show us what's important. Lord God, Lord, bring heavenly priority to our lives where we can see the necessity of what to do and what not to do at the time. Lord God, I know, Father, myself, sometimes I know there are things that were important, but Lord, I put certain things before other things that should have been done that were important. Hallelujah. And Lord God, it hampered me, and so I pray for them, Father God. I don't want them to go through that. I want them to know, Lord God, and put in their lives that they can see, Lord God. And Lord God, when they pray, Father God, I want to thank you, Father. I pray, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in renewing their minds, Lord God, that their minds become strong in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the mind of Christ becomes strong in them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, that they can see what they need to do. Lord God, these are people, they're families, Lord God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you rise up in them and you show them what to do. Lord God, that their house becomes and their homes become a place of great security and power for the Holy Ghost to move in. Lord God is showing them what to do, slamming the door of the devil and keeping him out in the name of Jesus and allowing the glory of God to come and move into their home to reveal to them, Lord God, your plans and purposes. Lord God, that when people come to that home, it's stepping into a completely different atmosphere and a completely different place, hallelujah, of the glory of God. Father God, Father, the homes are our castles, and Lord God, we desire your glory in our castles, hallelujah. We want your presence there. Devil, you're not going to run the people of this church in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We take authority in the name of Jesus over you, and we're not allowing you to operate. We're not allowing you to bring destruction. You're not taking our children and destroying their lives or our grandchildren. We refuse it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, there will be glory in us and in our children and in our grandchildren. Hallelujah. Lord God, just as Noah went on the boat, Lord God, his righteousness saved his entire family. And so shall it be in this generation. Hallelujah. Our righteousness will uphold us and our families in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we will walk in fullness. We will not be afraid. Devil, you will not have our children nor our grandchildren. I put you on notice right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our families will be in heaven together. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Father God, just as you promised me years ago. You said that if I did what you told me, and you said I had done it, you said I'll bring all your family, I'll bring all your brothers and sisters into the kingdom. Lord, just because of the righteous act of one, hallelujah, just like with Jesus Christ, the righteous act of one saved us all, hallelujah, and so shall the acts of the righteous show forth in glory in these days and bring those into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It shall be. It shall be. It shall be. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord says this. Do not be afraid in this day and hour. Do not worry about the ones that are on your heart. For I, the Lord, have heard your cry. And I will have the last say in this day. And I will bring them forth into glory. Great joy. Great joy. Great joy. Hallelujah. That's your future. That's your future. That's to this generation. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 When you think about your loved ones, you think about your kids, grandkids, whatever else going on, I'm going to tell you, don't talk negative about it. Don't sit and talk to each other about the bad that was done. Don't you sit and do that stuff. You talk about the glory God's going to do. God's going to work. I tell you, you keep your mouth right, God can work. Hallelujah. Lots of times people get in wrong talk and they destroy the work of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They ain't going to the devil. My kids and grandkids ain't going to the devil. They're going to God. Hallelujah. That's what it's going to be. And it shall be so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the righteous have spoken. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your Lord. Lord God, I am just so thankful. You're incredible. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord, I'd never say these things if the anointing wasn't on me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God's here. Hallelujah. And God is working. Hallelujah. So rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad of it. I tell you what, when you see him carrying on doing the wrong thing, you rejoice and thank God. You say, praise God. Hallelujah. They're coming into the kingdom. They might know it, but they're coming in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, God, Jesus said to pray for the Lord of harvest to send laborers. You said, thank God he's sending laborers across their path. God will send somebody they'll listen to. Probably won't be you. It don't matter. I don't care who they listen to. It don't matter to me. I don't have to be the preacher. Glory to God. Send anybody they'll listen to. Glory to God. So they'll come in. Amen. Hallelujah. And they'll come in. They're coming in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. It's amazing. You learn to walk over into these things. There's some things that the Lord taught me way back years ago about these things. Hallelujah. Concerning your relatives, the effect that you can have. See, don't run down your relatives, the ones that are heathen you think about. Don't run them down. Don't think you're so right. You didn't get saved because you were any good. Why on earth would you knock them? If we're gonna pick up what they do wrong, my God, we could write a book on you. We might be able to write a book on you. Was you been a Christian? Well, God's merciful, isn't he? He's kind and he's merciful. He's a loving God. That's what he is. Hallelujah. And he's willing that none should perish and all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to fulfill the desires of your hearts. He wants you to have those loved ones with you. That's what he wants. You think you get a desire, you want it? Your desire ain't near as big as his is. Your desire ain't near as big as his. Hallelujah. What he wants, what you want, he wants more. He wants more. Hallelujah. I'll tell you. So team up with him. Glory to God. Father, thank you. Thank you for being so gracious to us today. And Father, I pray, Lord God, concerning mothers. Father, I pray that in this nation again we uphold motherhood. Lord God, that we honor. So it should be, Lord God, Lord, that when in the family that mothers and fathers are put down in any way, Lord God, that absolutely, Lord God, destroys the authority of the family. And with that destroyed, there's no way a nation can stand. There's no way it can stand without the authority in the family. It can't stand. And I want to thank you, Lord God. We want to uphold this nation. We're going to honor mothers and fathers. We're going to honor, Lord God, what you chose to do. Hallelujah. And God, in so doing, you bless us in abundance. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.